You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a cleaner, more sustainable, safer world. One that isn't currently celebrating its own demise with hedonistic cynicism. Breathe a great, big, deep, clean sigh of relief here on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hello, everybody. And I am Brandon. And thank you so much for joining us on this special Earth Day edition of Interdimensional RSS, the Rick and Morty podcast. Travis.
Is that the holiday we celebrated yesterday? Is that why everybody was shooting explosives into the air to celebrate Earth Day?
Yeah. For 4th of July, it's Earth Day. And what they do is they shoot rockets into the air. And what that does is it actually cleans up the smog, especially if you're in like a major metropolis like Los Angeles, New York, Beijing, Moscow,
Denver. It's Earth Day, where we celebrate the Earth's birthday. So happy birthday, Earth, and glad we could celebrate with hot dogs and a new episode of Rick and Morty.
That's right. Rick and Morty, you know, the podcast that you're listening to, there's a few things you can do. You can hit us up. We're over on Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod. We're also facebook.com/ Rick and Morty Podcast. Instagram, you can check out some of our pictures from time to time. Rick and Morty Podcast. Email, of course, you can send us one of those classic correspondence, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Over on the web, Reddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com is our subreddit, in which we do, I do occasionally now cross-post things from the official Rick and Morty subreddit over there, which speaking of, I went backwards. I said the Rick and Morty Reddit first. Rick and Morty.
Reddit.com. It's the more visited one.
Yes.
It has
a few more thousand than we do on ours, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. Our website, rickandmortypod.com. If you are up for it, we also have a new domain name, rickandmortypodcast.com, which I haven't...
Hit that redirect.
Which I haven't built the redirect yet, so if you go there...
Don't go to that website.
Don't go to it, but it will be there. It's really easy from now on. We are streaming live over on twitch.tv/apathetic enthusiasm, and if you are up to it in a couple days... You can check us over out on youtube.com/apathetic enthusiasm, where you can get this video and more. We can go way back into the annals of our YouTube history, and you can see like unboxing
way
vids.
Back into our annals.
Yeah.
You could see Comic-Con videos from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Just all the if you want to interviews with creators of Invincible before they knew they were going to have a TV show.
That's right.
We got them.
Ryan Ottley. I talked to Ryan Ottley. He wasn't super impressed by me, but that's okay because Grizzly Shark was a great comic. So
absolutely.
last thing, Travis, I stole all of this from you, and I appreciate you letting me take the time to get through these housekeeping bits. You can support the show in a few different ways. TeePublic, apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop takes you to our TeePublic site where there's shirts and mugs from us, but also Rick and Morty, that's officially licensed over there. Some Schraub stuff is in our shop, which is important when it comes to this episode. And then finally, if you like the show and you want to support us financially, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You'll eventually be able to get some commentary from Travis and I for episodes of Rick and Morty once I edit them and once I release them on the Patreon. They are coming. They're just not there yet.
Okay. It's been a busy week. So thank you, Brandon. Thank you for covering all of those social links so wonderfully. Appreciate it. And how are you feeling? Long weekend, a big episode. Are you feeling ready? Are you feeling psyched for breaking it all down for unity?
This episode is Excited is not the word I would use for it. And I shouldn't have watched the episode directly before recording because I think it kind of put me in a weird headspace to come into this episode. So you know, this is the fun part. We should do the fun part first.
Let's do the fun part. It's all fun, but the most fun in this episode has got to be semi pertinent news.
It's semi-pertinent.
Nailed it.
my wife and kid are downstairs. Like, look, your father. We could have still stayed with my grandparents, but instead I'm listening to dad yell upstairs.
They're having that heart-to-heart conversation. Like, listen, your dad has chosen to do certain things with his life. And listen, you can be anything you want to be. You don't have to be like him. It's okay.
let's get your overnight bag packed. We're leaving.
All right, folks. We have a very special semi-pertinent news for you this week. We had the pleasure of touching base with Jacob Hanchar, the president and CEO of Digital Dream Labs. If you are an avid listener of the podcast, even when Rick and Morty isn't on the air, then you know that we got to have a conversation with him in a previous episode last fall. This was just after the announcement that they would be developing the Butter Robot, an interactive. I don't want to call it a toy because it's like, I mean, it's like a legit robot that'll do a lot more than you would think of from a normal collectible.
It's not just a fancy paper holder, paperweight.
Right.
It is actually going to be really, really cool with machine learning, movable parts. It's going to be great. So, Jacob came on. I saw him on CNN randomly. And I reached out to him. I was like, "Hey, I saw you on CNN, looking good." And he's like, "Hey, thanks. Hey, we should talk. We should hang out." And that's the genesis of this short interview for semi-pertinent news this week. And so, without further ado, Travis, roll us in to Jacob Hanchar, the CEO of Digital Dream Labs.
So Jacob, how have you been since we last got to talk to you?
Stressed out, but outside of that, no, we're doing well.
And obviously, I think fans of this podcast specifically would be interested in knowing, like, how are things progressing with the Butter Robot? I know a lot of people were excited with the announcement last year. Is there any sort of update that they could kind of get excited about?
Well, obviously, we're late. And that's my fault. OK, I let the engineering team go overboard. Because we got in a rhythm, and this thing is so over-engineered. The cost of goods on it skyrocketed, but we're like, whatever. You know what? We love this project. We're doing it, and it doesn't matter. But the funny thing is that because everyone inside the company is such a fan of the show, this thing, it has more. Okay, so you're familiar with Cosmic Vector. We talked about that last time. And so Cosmic Vector, we're slightly behind schedule there, but you know we're okay. There's light at the end of the tunnel there. Butter Robot, we're further behind schedule. But with Cosmic Vector, you have molded parts. You have like maybe 40 total molded parts. Okay, the Butter Robot, just by comparison, has 80. It's 80 now. And it's just so intricate and it's so over designed. It's going to be beautiful. So what I was mentioning before we jumped on here is that I got to show you guys like everything that goes into the process, and I'll have to do a shot of our factory and then also the office where we're kind of like we're doing the setups where the person comes in and then the assembly line, you do this, you put this together. So we have what's called the DVT, so the development test unit, essentially. That's, we have four of those being assembled right now. And okay. we're gonna be running those. And assuming that they run fine, we're gonna be giving those out and everyone can play with it to their heart's content. So we're gonna do that. And then that's when we actually open tooling. Because we've just opened tooling now. So just to give you an idea where we are in the process. I purchased all the chips, all the printed circuit boards. We purchased that months ago. So because the shortages, we saw it coming. That's where we were really concerned, because we saw the chip shortages. So I bought what's called a reel. And on a reel, the chips, we have 10,000 chips. So we have more than enough to cover the pre-orders and all awesome. That all that good stuff. So all the components are in hand. Everything is just, we just have to wait till the tooling's finished and then assemble the thing. So that's where it is on the hardware manufacturing side, the actual assembly. On the software side, we are way ahead of schedule, Because at this point, what we thought we'd have it out by now, we'd be sending direct updates. You know, we'd be OTAs, over-the-air updates, right? People are going to love, we have this thing called Garbage Brain. And I don't want to ruin it for people, but it is probably the coolest thing we've ever invented. It is so cool. So we're calling it GB 2000, you know, like everything or 2.0. And essentially it's we call it a fuzzy generator, which means that you're going to talk to it and he's going to generate his own dialogue, but it's going to pull from movie references and it's going to just be a blend of things that's going to really mess with you.
It's like talking to me in any given interaction. Yeah.
All of Brandon's responses are usually pulled from movie references anyway. So
it's gonna be like movie references ad libs on steroids. And then you're gonna go, what did he just say to me? You know, he's gonna wax philosophical, because we have the library we've downloaded is just unbelievable. That's going to be onboarded there, and there's going to be a little bit of machine learning too that's in that. And this is a lot of this stuff. Justin really, really wanted these really cutting edge, kind of very like a lot more advanced, like AI and the edge kind of stuff, which we weren't originally contemplating. So this has come into this, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun for the customer. So it's going to do a lot more than just grab your butter at this point. It's like in the promo video, it's like, you know, it's going to murder your family while you sleep. It I don't want to say it's going to go that far, but
no promises,
but
are Asimov's rules baked in somewhere? I mean,
there's all this compliance too. We have to be careful what it can and cannot say. Like there are libraries and copyright issues and all these things that we've had to navigate and approvals, etc. But no, on the software side, I am extremely excited. And on the hardware side, you know, we're getting it done, but over-engineered. It's two times more than what it probably should have been engineering-wise. But we want it to be perfect. So
that's really good to hear that you guys were able to kind of get ahead of, you know, the chip shortages and things that I know are affecting a lot of other companies right now. So the fact that, you know, you're able to kind of put some minds at ease to that stuff is sort of already been navigated. And now it's just a matter of, you know, sort of assembling all these pieces and getting that functionality all wedged together. It's really awesome.
Yeah. And let me tell you the level of detail. Okay. And so when I'm talking about tooling, I'm not just talking about making a part and then we put a plastic, you know, shoot plastic in it. And then, you know, it comes out and then we assemble it. Every part of the robot has a different finish, because Justin wanted one part to be shiny and another part to be matted. And so, I mean, that's the level of detail that's going into this. And so we went from like Motorola flip phone to basically Tony Stark hologram on this tech. It's something else. So, you know, when I'm just talking like, oh, okay, you're machining stuff. Like,
This isn't running some 3D printer in the back. Yeah. Like this is and the fact that Justin is so sort of engaged in the process and collaborating with you guys. I know just from like our experience of following the show and some of Justin's work, like his way of obsessing over some gadgets and, you know, like gaming stuff and everything, like I fully expect that he's going to help to sort of make sure that you guys are doing something that just kind of blows us out of the water once it actually gets delivered.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. Like, that's what I tell the team. If Justin's happy, I'm happy, you know? And so we're making steady progress with him. He really likes what we've done so far. I don't want to, you know, take words out of his mouth or speak for him, but so far it's been very positive. Love dealing with his team. Fantastic. And of course, the creativity, as we all know, the creativity that it stems in the show is going straight into this product. So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, so what I did, though, I put a line in the sand to the engineering team, like, we have to get this product out. Okay, guys. So let's just, I know it's fun. I know it's great, but at a certain point, we have to wrap it up. Yep. So yeah.
So, I mean, if folks are, maybe they missed out on the opportunity to pre-order in advance, but they're still interested in, the progress of the Butter Robot, what's a good way for folks to stay engaged and sort of keep up with what's happening?
So if you have an order, so everyone who's ordered, we have an email and we're sending email updates and things like that. We have a Butter Robot Twitter page right now where we're kind of like doing small updates here and there and talking about it. And of course, our company blog and things like that, we regularly update. We have a wait list, so you can go to our website. So yeah, we're treating all the pre-orders like gold. You guys are, you know, 100% focused there. And then the wait list, as soon as the last person from the pre-order receives their robot, then we'll open it up to the rest of the wait list. But the people who are on wait list can also receive updates and what's going on as well.
Yeah, and I think you can sign up for that wait list at thebutterrobot.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's right. You can just go click and then sign up. And we do have a pretty extensive wait list. But again, you know, the people who got in early, you know, and they're being rewarded for their patience.
Those elite pre-orders.
That's how I've always. That's because we've done Kickstarters, right? And you always treat those people like they're you know, royalty because they took the risk and they deserve the best. So,
well, Jacob, we can't thank you enough for coming back. Is there anything else that you want to make sure fans know about before we let you go?
Thank you for your support. Appreciate everything. And thanks, guys, for having me on the show. It's always fun to talk to you guys. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So there you go. There's our Butterbot update with the CEO of Digital Dream Labs. Thank you, Jacob, for coming back and helping us all get a status of what's going on with that old Butterbot.
The ye old Butterbot. We're looking forward to it, and I know you are too. Just keep an eye out for updates on the Butter Robot, and you'll get them if you keep an eye out for them. But only if you keep an eye out for them. Don't sign up for the mailing list. Just keep an eye out.
Unless you want to sign up for the mailing list. Anyway,
moving on. Reddit. Let's go into the Reddit post of the week. We've got a lot of episode to cover over the main thing type thing. So the Reddit post of the week this week is by Black Quark Zero. It had I believe it had over 28,000. Maybe
28,600.
There you go.
As of this recording.
Thank you. The title is Always Consistent. Period. Nice little detail. And what it is two different screenshots of not the most recent episode, Mortiplicity, at the end of Mortiplicity, and also going back with the time folks from the season two premiere. And it is the time testicle, I forget what his name is, saying, if you get to the dolphin people, you've gone too far. And then, of course, the dolphin people at the very end, at the post credit stinger with Wood Jerry. So, you know, shout out to Black Quark Zero for making the Reddit post of the week, getting all them sweet upvotes, them internet dollars.
Those tasty internet points.
That's right.
Delicious.
But moving away from Reddit, getting into real social media, Travis, it is time for the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
That was good. That was good. I like that.
I'm not a bass. That's the other podcast on this.
There was some syncopation in there, and it was going good. It was going good. I like how you're evolving since we've started.
Thank you. I'm actually trying every once in a while. So anyway, this week, Dan Harmon Social Media Minute, actually a regram, if you will. This is Dan sharing on his Instagram, in frickin' credible. What's the Arthur C. Clarke quote? Sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic? ? I feel that way about art. I don't understand how people can draw anything other than Garfield, but this is literally magic to me. Disturbing magic too. You want to watch this guy tell a kid to put seeds in his butt? Your move, HBO Max. What this is a regram from, I don't know how to pronounce this username, it's J-R-A-H-M-I-E-R. Go spell it out in your Instagram, or follow Dan. But this is a really awesome 3D sculpture of a very lifelike, realistic looking Rick head. Several different shots of it with different angles, but very cool. It would be like a realistic sculpture of Rick's head, and just fantastic piece of artwork that Dan shared on his Instagram at Dan Harmon. You can go follow him over there and get every single one of Dan's posts, not just the one we talk about each week.
not just that one. I do want to throw in my own little Dan Harmon Social Media Minute bit here real quick. There was a post out there where he was admiring somebody's wood shop in Europe or something like that. That wasn't the post itself that I wanted to comment on. He responded to somebody saying like, if I had time, like, I don't know if I could ever do this. And he just had a very, very thoughtful response to that thread, and was just saying like, you know, we all have time. We all feel certain ways about thinking we have enough time, blah, 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 blah. You know, all that's important is that when you find the time that you do it or you don't do it, that's fine too. Just proud to be sharing this earth with you. Which was kind of the notion behind it. So I just thought that was a very sincere post, and I shout out to Dan Harmon. He never gets enough shout outs on this podcast.
Yeah, he needs more attention levied upon him. He quit his podcast a while ago, and so he's pretty much out of the limelight these days.
He could always come on this one. But that would also probably be like the last episode we ever did, because we'd be like, okay, well, that was our achievement.
All right, we've reached the end. but who knows? Maybe in the off season we'll fill up some episodes with some interviews. Dan Harmon, maybe not. But anyway, that's it for semi-pertinent news. If you have a news story that is Rick and Morty related, shoot that over to us, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com, or any of those other social media methods, and we may feature it in a future episode. Thank you to everybody that helps make this segment possible. It is now time for us to move on to a very special, potentially very emotional main thing.
It's a main thing. Main thing. Main thing.
What the time-honored listeners of the audio version of this podcast will not get to experience is how much your webcam was shaking as you were doing that and jamming out, and thus shaking your entire setup in order to bring that phenomenal theme music to life.
My knee is like propped up against the desk, and so when I was like, I was tapping my foot. I was tapping my feet, just like
keeping the beat,
just like Creedence Clearwater Revival, down on the corner, part on the street. All right. Anyways, whatever. It is the main thing today. We're talking about season 5, episode 3, A Rick Convenient Mort. It aired on 4th of July, America's birthday, 2021. Written by the great Rob Schraub, a longtime Dan Harmon friend, perhaps best friend. I don't want to speak for them. Directed by Juan Mezaleon, who has directed other episodes in the past. Guest stars Allison Brie, Community shout out. Steve Buscemi. Oh God, everybody messes up his name.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Brandon. Messing up names is my thing.
Okay, you mess it up later.
Steve Buscemi.
Okay, yeah, we'll just stick with that, and we apologize to everyone who's going to come back to us and say you said his name wrong, you assholes. And finally, Jennifer Coolidge, who you might know is Stifler's mom from the hit series American Pie. I know her more so from the Christopher Guest movies, such as A Mighty Wind, A Best in Show. For your consideration,
all the classics,
Waiting for Guffman, right? Yeah. Waiting for Guffman. So good. Anyway,
all right. So we have the typical bronopsis, for this episode. Reduce, reuse, bruh. Might be too late. That's a one bruh synopsis, by the way.
Oh my God.
Only one bro.
Count it. Count the one bruh.
Put it on the board. There's a board just off screen. You guys can't see it. Anyway, our synopsis: love the planet, even if love sucks sometimes. And love definitely a huge theme in this episode. And we will talk all about it as we get into this discussion.
As we do. One thing from the Twitch feed: old Philip Marks mentioning Buscemi.
Buscemi.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And that is why you need to follow us on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm so you can correct us live and on the spot. Probably delayed about 20 seconds.
Corrections, redactions, all that available live on the spot over on Twitch. So obviously this episode, a Rick Convenient Mort, that title referencing the Inconvenient Truth. Most likely, the Al Gore documentary from 2006, talking all about the environment, environmental issues, things like that, obviously infused into the core premise of this episode as well.
When we saw the trailers, right? We saw the first two trailers, and then we saw the episode titles come out, right? Like, and a Rick Convenient Mort was to me, that was like clearly going to be this episode with Planetina and the Tina Tears. So you, Travis, you talked already about love being a theme. So I compared to last week, we're only comparing it this to last week for now, just to say last week was, we talked about it in depth. It was very, very dense, but it was dense with, Not necessarily thematic, thematic deepities. I can think of any word.
Deepities. Intense themes, right? Yeah. Like there weren't these high concept ideas. It was more of how could all of these scenarios play out? What are all the things you could do potentially with a decoy family
and lots of jokes.
Absolutely. A lot of throwaway stuff, right?
Last week's episode was basically us like covering the jokes, because there were so many jokes. There were so many sight gags, actual gags, which were fantastic. Going into this episode and watching it last night, I shout out to the subreddit. I put out all the post episode posts, and as I'm watching, I usually like try to write down stuff to pop it in there and populate what we should have a discussion on. And this one was a little bit harder because usually a Rick and Morty episode is like, high concept and stuff like that. And we could like, I could have lots of exclamation points, but at the end of this episode, I was, I should take all the exclamation points out of my post, because this is not an episode that you come out of and you're like, I'm thrilled to be a part of the human race, right? I'm not thrilled to be in a relationship, you know. So it's a deeper episode, I think, that we're going to talk into. And the first thing we talked about is love. So Travis, why don't you lead the way on the first thing that you extracted from the episode?
Well, I think love is a common through line through the A plot, the B plot, even sort of random like subplots in this. Obviously, you have in the main storyline what I would call the Planetina relationship. This is Morty's relationship with if you are a child of the 80s or 90s, you know Captain Planet. He's a hero, gonna bring pollution down to zero. I think you did like the whole theme last week on stream, so we're not gonna do the whole thing. But I did. Anyway, yes, very early, due to some acid rain brought on by the Diesel Weasel, voiced by writing credit Rob Schraub. Planetina shows up. She wipes out Diesel Weasel, and Morty swoons. He says "Wow" in triplicate, and then goes and meets Planetina. They go out for cruelty-free donuts, and this sparks a relationship between the two of them that really very quickly shows sort of young love and a genuine relationship where Morty is finding love and really being in like a legit relationship. And we're not talking about him swooning over Jessica or any one-off sort of flings that he's had on, you know, in Anatomy Parks or anything else. This is where feelings are involved, right? He's texting late at night. He's doing a lot of things to really challenge what others think because of his commitment to this relationship.
We watched, you know, and going into this, we also watch the inside the episode that Adult Swim puts out with the creators, usually Harmon, usually a writer, or maybe one of the directors. And a big thing that Schraub ended up talking about was them wanting to create an episode about kind of this teenage heartbreak, and but that Harmon early on got him to not make it about Morty getting broken up with, but Morty having to break up with somebody, which is in many ways it seems like it's a harder thing to have to struggle with, because that's why people ghost, right? Because they want to I have friends, I have some best friends who find that and I'm guilty of this as well. Like, it's easier for me to want somebody to break up with me. That way I don't feel like the victim. And it's them doing the hard part. It is the hard part to break up with somebody. And so there's more pain, I think, associated with that.
I think it's bold for Rick and Morty to address these sort of themes the way that they did. You get other aspects of love with Rick and Summer's relationship and their three planet apocalypse bender that they go on, really in almost a reaction to deny love. The fact that Morty is starting this new relationship after Summer gets dumped. Rick just wants to go out and party, and so they decide they're just going to go and no rules, no commitments, just go to three apocalyptic planets with no strings attached. And it's almost like that denial of love, that idea that we're gonna escape it. It's love is terrible. We don't need it. And even through that process, you know, somebody whips out some elbow boobs, and then all of a sudden Rick is in love on his with this Daphne character that he meets. Smitten, absolutely. So I love sort of becomes a theme throughout all of it, and the different reactions to love. There's a lot of relationships happening between, obviously, we talk about Morty and Planetina. We talk about Summer and Rick's like grandfather granddaughter relationship, and how they actually are much more alike than I think a lot of fans give them credit for, or maybe a lot of fans are starting to realize this now, that almost the Rick and Summer adventures are sometimes more fun to watch than some of the Rick and Morty adventures. And I don't know, there's a special relationship there that continues to be invested in as the show continues. But then we also have like parental love, right? We have how Beth and Jerry react to Morty's relationship, and Jerry's kind of not really present. He's more focused on board games, and Beth is very much sort of protective and doesn't want to allow Morty to enter into this relationship or pursue this relationship. And I think she's much more protective and sort of denying him opportunities to find love, but also potentially find heartbreak as well. So lots of things happening in a funny show about high concept sci-fi rigmarole and all those things.
Well, I think that's a good enough time to ask the question. And this isn't in order in our show notes, but I want to ask, based off that, the very, very deep kind of, this is the most probably relationship episode that we've had before, since maybe Unity. But in some ways, there's a more, for boys, which we are, it's more relatable for us to understand a teenage infatuation, what we consider love, and going through puberty and being awkward and just all the fucking stupid little hormones that are running through our body, right?
Right.
I forget what I was going to say. So there is that aspect of it, I think, but. Oh, I don't remember where I was going. I don't know, I was talking about hormones.
So were you leading into sort of Beth's reaction and how she behaved?
Oh thank you for getting me back on track. No, what I was going to say was, okay, it's a show. This episode feels so much different than previous episodes of Rick and Morty because there is a lot less laughter, but there's also. As my wife Chelsea mentioned, there was a lot more teenage boy humor in it, like with the elbow titties, sure. Like licking each other's elbows, Rick and Summer just talking about eating all that ass. On the televised version, it's blurred out. You said it's not blurred out on the uncensored version.
Yeah, I that is not blurred out, and I'm really curious, like who at Standards and Practices or like what that determining factor is that the conversation can be kept in the episode, but the actual pantomiming by these animated characters cannot be. It's really
so
interesting.
So yeah. real quick aside, the elbow titties, were those blurred out on
those were blurred out.
Okay.
So, right.
So even uncensored, you can't look at them elbow titties.
Can't get those elbow titties. Yeah.
So what I'm going to ask, because the episode is so different, one of the complaints I've seen online and the Reddit and in some reviews I've read was that the episode wasn't very funny. And
yeah,
you can have drama, sure, but the show is still, you can have drama and still have comedy. So what do you make of that kind of complaint? Like, what is your thought on it?
I think those people that maybe thought the show or the episode was not funny probably have not watched it as many times as we have in preparation for this episode. We do a segment on this podcast, our favorite bits, right? And I started capturing some of those and realized there were so many jokes that I really enjoyed in this episode that I kind of had to tailor it down because I felt like the favorite bit segment would maybe get to be too long. I think there was a lot of genuine comedy and really funny moments in this episode, but they were not necessarily as overpowering as the emotional through line of the episode. And really, that did take a front seat, and it was a risk that the showrunners took. I think it was a worthwhile risk because I think this episode does have a lot of heart, and I think that's okay for Rick and Morty to have some heart and have some genuine character building, which they continue to do throughout the last 4.5 seasons. And I think they're going to continue to do that. And I think the show will continue to be funny and it'll continue to be entertaining while also exploring some of these deeper themes. You think about episodes that we reference as some of our favorites, and Tales from the Citadel did not end with a great stinger joke. It was the reveal of President Morty being evil Morty and this whole fallout of his grand plan that kind of had everybody surprised and in shock, not laughing. We weren't laughing about it, but it was one of those like aha moments where we really thought it was cool, not because it was funny, because it was well written.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Two thoughts that I have. One, most of the jokes that happened in this episode, even let's go down at the favorite bits. A majority of our favorite bits, those jokes were in the beginning of the episode, like the first half of the episode. Yeah. And then the episode starts focusing on like the relationships bit, the Morty and his mom. And Morty and Planetina. Honestly, the stuff with Rick and Summer and Daphne, when it shifted back over to them, that stuff on a, and I'll talk more about it. That stuff on its face wasn't as interesting to me, and I didn't care about that as much because I agree with my wife. It seemed like just like a, yeah, let's get some piss on me jokes and having sex with my dad jokes. And then going back to the Morty and Planetina and that relationship kind of, you know, getting to its conclusion, was more interesting to me. And it felt like a different show at this point in time, which I didn't have a problem with. I was like, good. Yeah. Change things up a little bit. Like, this is the first time. Here's what I'll say. This is the first time I asked this in the Reddit discussion. Like, this is the first time we've felt for Morty in such a way. We've been like, oh, poor Morty, like at the end of Vat of Acid episode when Jerry presses the button and it's like a little gag. We feel bad for Morty. It's like, ah, that sucks. Jerry fucked it up, right? But we're not like crying for Morty. We don't yeah. feel any. It's a butt of a joke for that to happen. This was the first time that Roiland, as Morty, really had an emotional reaction to something.
And I think they sold it really well. Both in what was written, but also the animation teams, the way they captured Morty's emotions and the way he struggled with the entire process of ending the relationship. So none of that had anything to do with Rick's meddling, right? Rick was off world doing his whatever he's doing with Sumsum, right? So he is experiencing something that is relatable for pretty much all of us, right? Most people have had to either break up with someone or be the one that was broken up with. It is a common emotion for most of humanity. So I think in that way, it's also a lot more relatable. I have never had someone try to trick me with a vat of acid. So I can appreciate the joke more so and separate it more from feelings of frustration. So yeah.
I want to talk about Morty for a second. We wrote Morty in his kind of emotional state, which by the way, like it's a great callback to a joke earlier in the episode when he gets pissed off at Beth when she won't give him the credit card so he can get a train ticket to go to the forest fire, so he can meet Planetina, and he slams the door over and over again. Right. He does that. And then mirror that with later when he slams the door and then the animators hold the shot on the door longer than they should, because they're expecting you to have the slam, 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 slam joke again, and it doesn't happen that time.
Yeah, and they have that reaction shot with Beth sort of looking at the door with that same level of expectation, realizing that her son just said, I hate you, I'm never going to forgive you for this, and storming out.
Yeah.
And sort of that fracture in that relationship. When it's possible, and yes, Beth has not been a glowing example of a mother traditionally throughout this series, I think she had Morty's best interests at heart. She was trying to protect her 14-year-old son from getting too involved too quickly. But it's also a 14-year-old boy, and you know, teenage boys, teenagers, period, tend to fall in and out of love really quickly sometimes. Yeah, sure. And that's part of growing up, right? So I don't know. I think that entire I think it's all handled really well. I think it makes for a very interesting episode. We've definitely talked a lot about this aspect of it. But I think it also shines a light on Morty's development as a character, which is something that we've talked to a lot throughout this podcast. And we continue to see elements of Morty being able to hold his own, to fight off other people without Rick's help, and to sort of advocate for himself more than a version of Morty that we might have seen, you know, in season one. How did you feel about that aspect of Morty's character in this episode?
Well, you go to the premiere of Rick and Morty, where he gets mega seeds shoved up his butt, and then he gets incredibly smart, and he's just like, oh, they his parents from the start thought he was stupid. And now look where he is. He's killing the Tina Tears single-handedly, yeah. Literally with one hand, one ring. And you know, even the season premiere, when he goes into the Narnia land and he goes in there, he takes everybody out just to get the thing of wine. But he kind of, you know, he forgets the technology, and then it comes back and bites him. He's already showing that he is more competent in there. And you know, when anybody is coming into their own, and they don't feel like they're getting that recognition, then yeah, certainly there's some resentment that builds up. And that resentment, you know, Beth lets him go on adventures, and I've seen this on Reddit, like. Beth lets him go on adventures and kill so many people with his grandfather over and over and over again. And this situation is the first time that she's like, oh, let me be a good mother again. Let me watch out for him. Let me take care of him. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there is. I saw it in the Reddit post as well. People questioning why Morty would break up with Planetina over the lives of 300, you know, oil workers, when he's literally been responsible for genocide on a planetary scale. And I think that in the aspect of this show or this episode, it was Morty wrestling with his understanding or his idea of Planetina, and that being in direct contrast with what he was seeing. And so the version of Planetina that he was in love with was not the Planetina that he saw in that moment, you know, murdering all those peoples for the sake of the environment. So I think that ends up being the driving force of him deciding to end that relationship. It doesn't make him any better or worse than Planetina. It's just his reasoning for why, you know, his idea of that relationship couldn't carry forward anymore. If that makes sense,
it does make sense. And he wanting her to stop, and her being just so into just killing all those people as just a fire demon. You know, like his view of her changed in that moment, literally. The great shot by the animators with his eyes and the reflection of the carnage in his eyes. Just a spectacular shot in my mind. And it was his changing view of her and the relationship they could have together.
Absolutely.
So moving on. Let's go a little bit lighter.
Anyway, there's, like we said, there's a lot in this episode. I wanna again reinforce credit to the director Juan Mizzaleone. All of these shots, you know, we talk about shots in animation, but somebody's storyboarding this, somebody's you know, directing this out, and they really did a great job of visually telling the story as well. So kudos to them. But they also delivered on some great zingers, some great jokes. And we have a handful of favorite bits from this episode. So
yeah.
So let's get it started, Brandon. What were some of your favorite jokes that stood out in this episode?
Well, of course, you can't go without talking about a little bit of them elbow titties.
Hello.
They've shaped presidencies. They've written poems about them.
National anthems have been written about these or something. Yeah, yeah.
those were great. Again, Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom. The blurred out ass eating, we talked about that already. The one gag that I really, really liked was not only the Rick and Morty pussy pounders, which
I haven't seen the actual merch out anywhere available yet, but I'm sure it's got to be coming to a store somewhere soon.
Neither of us are wearing Rick and Morty shirts right now, I don't think.
This is Adult Swim Fest.
Okay. So, it's not a Rick and Morty merch shirt. But there were, you know, we all feel a little called out that they're like, we love merch. I mean, we do. But what I really like is that after he gives a shirt to her, his favorite grandchild, all it is Morty's face, and there's like a Sharpie giving him a ponytail and boobs, and it has Morty crossed out, and it says summer on it. Oh, it's summer written over Morty. I thought that was a cool little gag.
I was gonna add that to the list as well, and saw you already had it. I think that is a terrific visual effect that you might not catch right away. The board game that they play, Don't Punch My Lunch. This is probably maybe going to be the new board game for the season. I don't know. Maybe they'll just go to the well of Rob Schraub's ideas, and maybe we'll get more than just Downbeat in future episodes. But I thought the mechanics of Don't Punch My Lunch was interesting, and the fact that Jerry was way too into the game and not into the conversation that was actually happening at the table is another great layer to the concept.
That's right. While they're at the table, two things. One, I love, if you listen, I've watched the episode 4 or 5 times now, maybe 5 or 6.
He's a glutton for punishment, ladies and gentlemen.
I was by myself last night, so I was like, I watched it over and over again. If you watch that scene while Morty, Planetina, and Beth are kind of having that conversation, Jerry is in the back still counting his double sixes to get 12.
Yep.
which I think is just a solid little bit of sound mixing to be like, he's just so out of it. He's not paying attention whatsoever. There's that. There's something else about that. Don't punch my lunch.
I like the little retractable like boxing glove element that he has to squeeze to punch the belly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Oh, that's cool too.
It's Beth when she says 17 is like 26 in girl or boy years or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Other things, I thought that the door handle unlocking gag at the very beginning, as the acid rain is pouring down, where Morty's trying to unlock get into the spaceship. Just a great callback, because to my life all the time trying to unlock my vehicle for my kids, and I'm like, just don't open, no, put, let go of the handle. Okay. All right. Okay. And also Morty's vocal mix up, when he first meets Planetina, where she says like, thanks for recycling. And he says, your problem, because he meant to say you're welcome and no problem. And he mixed it up. So
That's right. Speaking of the beginning stuff, all of the Planetina and Diesel Weasel's puns, see you next slime.
Yeah. all of her like one-liners, just very
every little bit helps.
very relatable to classic like 90s superhero animation writing or whatever, you know, right?
Yeah. Let's get the other sad one out of the way. The Morty flower bouquet changes over the relationship. We don't have to.
It's not funny, but I think it's. I think it was. I think it's cool that they were able to sort of show that progression of the relationship visually through those that bouquet.
Okay, yeah, that reminds me. Before I forget, shout out to Ryan Elder and Mark Malman for they co-wrote the song "Flowers," which was during all the texting pieces between Morty and Planetina, and that weird like crayon animation type thing going on.
Yeah, it really swells in that crayon animation transition. That song now available on Spotify. If you search Rick and Morty on Spotify, you can get that and all of the original songs from the series. So go check it out. You can listen in its entirety.
And also music by Kishibashi, I Am the Antichrist song is also out there. That is the other song that is featured on this episode that also swells a lot.
That's the end card sort of, or not end card, but into the end credits song, right?
Yeah. And the last thing I will say is there's a bit where when they're talking about the forest fire, it shows the newscaster and it says the Mesa Leone Forest, obviously. That forest is named after the director, Juan Meza Leon.
Oh, that's what very, very well thought out. I'll rapid fire these ones. The $50 Funkos at the convention. I love that. Murder Pie on Morty's delivery hat when he comes to bring a cheesy
crispy Italian.
Yeah. his pizza company is called Murder Pie. And then the person who they're there to make a deal with who shouts out, "I am an individual character. I represent no group." I thought that was a great line as well. So.
Yeah, it was a great line. So I want to go out to the Reddit real quick. Some things that I noticed from the Reddit. Pearl Squared mentioned that the ending actually caught them off guard with its straightforward emotion, no jokes, just huh. Also, Morty's rant to Beth actually made me feel really bad, and Rick and Summer's sincerity to each other was genuinely really nice to see. Jesus, this felt like a change from any Rick and Morty episode I've ever seen before. That is the top voted comment within the Reddit. So I just wanted to shout out to Pearl Squared for that. And then you mentioned I am an individual character. I represent no group. Bagged __milk. I don't know if this post was removed. I might see it because I'm a moderator. But they said you laugh, but the stereotypical characters who don't break the fourth wall like that do cement certain connotations in people's heads subconsciously or not. So I wanted to pull that one out there because, you know, it is true. Like even though it's an individual character represent, the joke is it doesn't matter which nationality, which country this person's from, still including him as a sight gag, a visual gag, still imbues some kind of stereotype towards that character. So,
yeah, I guess the action of calling it out, you know, reinforces that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Exactly right. So Travis, I have one or two more thoughts on this episode. Do you have any more thoughts before we head on?
I have so many thoughts, but we only have so much tape on this on this podcast.
That's true.
I will hold off. Obviously we can discuss it at length you know, on Twitter and things like that, but let's get into some final little bits.
I had final thoughts on the
okay.
Episode,
I thought you were queuing up these little bits. No, you were gonna whisper little bits and we're gonna do the thing. Okay.
No,
share your last thought.
It's like in volleyball. I was volleying it back to you, but I was like,
you set it up.
No,
and
bring
I
it back.
Totally flubbed.
Bring
it,
bring it back. Oh, no, I gotta reserve.
Take a note. Fix this in post.
I will say about the Rick and the Summer stuff. Everybody focused on they're just fucking things, and it's the end of the world. Another major thing, we talked about love extensively. We talked about relationships a little bit, but what we didn't talk about much, and we won't get too deep into, is Earth conservation. This episode comes out coincidentally when there's a gigantic fire in the middle of the ocean, just coming up, right? And it's huge
heat waves on the West Coast. All sorts of things happening right now.
It's scary. And I think what a lot of people missed about those three planets at the end of their life cycle, there's going to be apocalypses. Those planets are going to go away, and everybody on each one of those planets, instead of trying to do anything about it, they just said, "Screw it. Let's just get tore up. Tear everybody else up, and let's just have fun. It doesn't matter if the planet's gonna die. Let's just have fun. We can't do anything about it anyways." And I think that is that's the point that a lot of us missed the first couple times that we watched that episode, is, you know what, we can still do something about it. Let's work towards that future. And Summer in the third planet shows that you get somebody who's petty enough, they will save all of us.
That's right. Yeah. You just gotta pull a Rick enough move to just go and destroy that planet, and then all of a sudden everybody has to go to work the next day. So I think that is a great point. And I wanna commend Rob Traub, who packed so much into this episode. And I know the writing is a team effort, but the fact that this is the first episode with his name on it, I think we did a phenomenal job in, you know, working this concept and really developing it into something that isn't what we traditionally seem to get from a Rick and Morty episode, but I think will stand out over time as a really exceptional episode.
100%. Also, go check out his segments on Shudder for the Creep Show. Some good stuff there.
I got to be honest, like when I heard that Schraub had written this episode, I did not expect what we got at all. And maybe it's because most of my experience hearing from Rob Schraub was his contributions to Harmontown and things like that, and him being a little bit more goofy, off the cuff, like his tweets and things, his interaction on social media. He really put together a phenomenal episode, and credit to the Schraub.
Scud the Disposable Assassin much?
All right, you want to hit it?
Let's move on.
You want to hit any of these little bits?
Little bits, yes. Obviously, we just talked about Rob Schraub, his bestie, Allison Brie. We talked about her being a community alum on this.
That's right.
Let's see. Steve Buscemi was Eddie, the one who got fired.
Yes. There was a vote no on Prop 6 shirt.
There is a link here, and it's basically like it's repealing a tax for diesel fuels. Let's see. The initiative would repeal all the transportation taxes adopted by the legislature in 2017, including higher gasoline and diesel excise taxes, a new tax on vehicles, and a new tax on zero emission vehicles. The measure would also require any future legislatively imposed taxes on fuels and vehicles to take effect only upon a statewide vote of the people. So that is Prop 6. So vote no.
There you go.
Prop 6.
There's the reference on that one.
I looked it up. Yeah. I looked it up last night.
there's a great inside the episode with Harmon Schraub, Mezzaleone. If you have not gotten a chance to watch that, go check it out on Adult Swim's YouTube. I think that's most of the little bits for this episode. Unless you have anything else, I think we can move into listener suggestions and short outs.
I think it's time to move on. The first folk that we have, Clovar, who was a moderator for a long time, says, don't punch my lunch. Is season 5's downbeat. You remember Downbeat from season 4? It's the family tabletop game. I fully anticipate Don't Punch My Lunch to make at least another 3 appearances in season 5 and one family game each season forever.
I hope he's right. They are right. I hope that they continue to develop weird, bizarre board games for this show.
What I found interesting, a little bit of difference with Downbeat was also a term used in the industry as a transition, right? It was a downbeat in the narrative. So like Downbeat had an extra little joke. Don't Punch My Lunch is like Don't Wake Daddy, or like that one game with like a pig that you feed it hamburgers and then it's like belly explodes eventually.
I think I have that game or had that game for my kids, but I definitely don't have it anymore.
I was looking over my board games to see if I
pig,
had it there.
Pop the pig or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Anyway, over to Twitch. Thank you to Kinda Sorta for following us on Twitch, and a special, very recent shout out to Matt Hart 3808, who just contributed 1,000 bits. Says thank you guys so much for doing these shows. Been listening in since season 3, but had to go back and catch all the episodes in order. I never get to catch you live, as I am in the UK. So thank you all the way from across the pond for supporting the show, and thank you for continuing to listen and watch, and thank you for joining us live. That's fantastic.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I was playing catch with you from across the pond on video. The audio subscribers won't get that reference. Let's see. You mentioned Jared Orr over on YouTube. Did you
no,
mention
that? I didn't, but brand new sub, Jared Orr, thank you for subscribing on YouTube.
Thank you, Jared
Thank
Orr.
You, Jared.
I had a really good friend named Pat Orr, who for one of the Comic Cons, he dressed up as Macho Man Randy Savage, and he was a badass. And we had a booth there, and he was just like wandering around, like trying to get people to come to our booth. Great guy.
He held it down for the booth. That was awesome. That was phenomenal.
Yeah. We have a couple of reviews. The first review is from Saturn Satan, and I don't remember if we covered this or not, so you may get a second shout out.
Double short out. Congrats.
I started super late and only heard a few episodes, but it's so good. Thank you.
5 stars. Thank you.
Travis, you didn't see this review, and that's because this review comes to us directly via email, because what we don't see is the global reviews for in other countries. This one is from L41 Lux. It's 5 stars from Canada. Funny guys, knowledgeable analysis and breakdown of Rick and Morty. Thank you so much. That one, you gave us a review. Two, that you think we're knowledgeable. And three, that we do anything efficiently in breaking down Rick and Morty. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that reviews, reacts, comments, subscribes anywhere across the internet. We are appreciative. I think that's a word. We appreciate everything that you guys do. All of you fine members of Unity, we really appreciate all of your support. You are the reason that we do this show. So thank you so much for letting us know that you enjoy it. If you want to leave a comment, you know, let us know wherever it is that you consume this content. We appreciate it so much. And now we are going to end this episode and head over into our Twitch only post show. So if you want to, this is the thing that we do where we like entice people to actually show up to the Twitch live stream.
Are you
and
enticed?
We're gonna talk to them, and you're not gonna hear it because it's just for people on Twitch.
Oh,
so if you want to be part of that conversation, head over to twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm on Monday nights. We will see you there next week for another episode of Interdimensional RSS. Special guests are lining up around the corner to be on this podcast. So a lot more in store. And until then, I am Travis.
And I am Brandon. And thank you, one and all, for listening. Unity, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
I think Rick Dependence Spray is the episode. Doesn't matter.